Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Central Church of God, located at 5120 Central Avenue, Portage, Indiana. Here, you can listen to a Sunday service by Pastor Robert Sluter. If you have questions, prayer requests, or want more information about our church, please feel free to contact Pastor Robert at 219-963-8496.
Praise team for being sensitive and leading us in worship today. If you're watching at home, we're praying that you sense the presence of the Lord right now, whether it's at this moment or if you're watching later, because the same presence that is here is not contained just in a room, but there's something special about when believers come together to worship with the same heart, same mind. This morning, I'm going to continue with this thought of renewing. And this is renewing our vision and anticipation for the throne room. I just asked it just a moment ago, but how many is ready for heaven? How many is ready to be in that throne room? So I want to renew my vision and my anticipation for the throne room of God. Let's say the declaration of the word this morning. I believe this is the word of God. I believe it's fully a word of God in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm ready to receive from God's word today. I'm alert, I'm listening, and I'm hungry. Lord, open my ears to hear and my heart to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your presence. There's a sweet presence here today. So again, we're looking at renewing our vision and anticipation this time for the throne room. And so I just have a question you may be asking right now, why? Why this again? Why this renewing? And the answer I want to give you is this: because it transforms celebration into holy reverence. There's a lot of times churches know how to celebrate. We can get excited. I witnessed this weekend. There were songs or songs that we have done, and they're fun to sing along. You're celebrating. And when I'm wandering through the night, anybody get kind of going with the songs like that? Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. There's some celebration at it, amen? And we watched those kids, and they all, most of them swarmed down into the front of the altar, and they had so much energy. They were, get up, get up. The whole time, they're just jumping around. I just watched from the balcony looking at, bless them, Lord. And they were down in there hopping. And then they changed into a different song of holiness to the Lord. And then I saw all the hopping just stop and hands raised. The transformation of the room. And that's what God does when we begin to reverence him. And it stirs up within us this anticipation. I'm going to be in heaven worshiping with every believer who's called on the name of the Lord, declaring holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So this morning, our outline is simple. It's just going to be one point today. But before I give you the point, I want to connect the message, what the Lord has been doing for the last few weeks. And just 2 weeks ago, we looked at this message of renewing for the reverence of God. Anybody remember that? Renewing for the reverence of God. So let me share a few verses from that. We looked at Philippians chapter 2, and starting in verse 9, we were talking about there was a fresh anointing that was flowing from a reverence of God. I want to be in the anointing. I want to be filled with His anointing so at any moment I can minister to someone who's in need, but I need His anointing to make it through this life when all the things are going on around us. I know that I can count on Him, but I have to receive that anointing in His presence. I want to press into His presence, but here's what we read again. Therefore, God has exalted, talking about Jesus, Him highly above every name, which is above every other name. His name is above every other name. Yes, yes. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And some were even feeling that heaviness this morning. I just want to come and bow before His presence. I miss Ollie. I guarantee you, if Ollie was here this morning, he would be laying right here, face down on the floor, worshiping the Lord. Every knee of those in heaven, say in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. I want to connect this message now to Revelation chapter 4, looking at to those in heaven. I know this is a passage I've preached before and used it in other messages, but I felt impressed by the Lord earlier this week about seeking His presence. And there's other places of confirmation. Again, the Lord just let me know I was on the right track. And so you've heard this passage, but I want you to hear again. I gave you a little bit of snippet of what the point was going to be, but here's the point. Transforming celebration into holy reverence. I want us to be a congregation that knows how to celebrate, but we know how to reverence the presence of God. Yes. That we're sensitive, not to agenda. And I submit this again to you. You can look at it. I'll give you an agenda after church if you want to see it. And on there, it says, subject to change by the leading of the Holy Spirit. We are sensitive to Him. Because when we come into this room and we begin to lift up our praises before Him, the atmosphere begins to change. We celebrate newness of life. We celebrate salvation. We celebrate the goodness of God. But there's something that happens when we begin to focus all attention on Him and His glory for who He is. Not for what He's done for us, not what He's going to do for us. And we thank God for all those things, but when we turn our focus away from us completely and put our eyes only on Jesus, and we begin to say, holy are You, Lord. Worthy are You, Lord. How excellent is Your name. We magnify You. We lift You up. We exalt You. We extol You. When we begin to bow down, it changes the room. So why do we need to renew our vision in anticipation for the throne room? Because when we do that, we realize our focus is now on God Almighty. And when we're seeing Him, and it's in that atmosphere. And I submit to you again, it's in that atmosphere when we're focusing on Him that He moves on your heart. He begins to break off those things in your life that you need broken away. When we focus on Him, it sets the atmosphere for healing. When we focus on Him, it sets the atmosphere for deliverance. When we focus on Him, it sets the atmosphere for freedom. When we focus on Him and we think about heaven and what it's going to be like, that there's no more tears in heaven, that there's not going to be sorrow in heaven, there's not going to be grief in heaven, there's not going to be shame in heaven, there's not going to be sin in heaven. Heaven. It's the place that we are longing for and we want to go to, but we can experience a taste of His presence right here. And when we focus on Him, it changes the atmosphere. And then for a moment, the heaviness that you may have walked in with, the things that you still have to face tomorrow, the meetings that you don't want to have, that you still have to go to, the conflict that you've got to walk through. But here's what the thing is. When you're in the presence of the Lord and you're focused on Him, you begin to be empowered with a fresh anointing so you can walk into the next day with the confidence that the Lord is on my side. No matter what you're facing health-wise, in the presence of the Lord, things begin to change. That's why somebody's like, keep singing that song. Keep worshiping, because I don't know what it was. I came in, I wasn't feeling so well. But as I started pressing into the presence of the Lord, my headache went away, or the sickness in me began to go away. I'm sensing His presence. I don't want to leave His presence. And so we have to renew our vision. Our renewing our anticipation. Lord, I desire heaven even more. I want to have more times alone with You, because I begin to sense Your presence in real. So as we go to Revelation chapter 4, I just want you to see just a scene of heaven that the Holy Spirit so graciously puts on the heart of John to write for us. Aren't you glad that we don't have the full picture, but we have a picture? We really don't know what it's going to be like. John did the best he could to write down what he's seen, and we're trying to connect with it the best way we can. But I know when I read it every time, I'm not scared of the book of Revelation. It draws me in knowing that God is a merciful God, but God is a God of judgment, but He's going to redeem those who've called on His name, and He's going to judge those who rejected Him. And I have not rejected Him. I'm serving Him. My old man rejected Him, but the new man is accepting Him, and I'm walking in Him. I'm alive in Him. I'm safe in Him. I'm secure in Him. I have life in Him. I have a path in Him. I have a direction. I have a destiny, and the destiny is heaven, and I'm going to go in it with all that I can. That's the confidence that we hear and see and that we receive when we read the book of Revelation, and I begin to see a glimpse of what heaven looks like, and it makes me long more and more and more for it. After these things, I looked. After what things? I'm not going to preach the whole book of Revelation, but in these first three chapters, John is beginning to write. He writes to the seven churches of Asia. And he's giving them instructions, and he's condemning some and he's exalting some. And after the Lord gave him those things to write, he says, after these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. In the middle, after writing these things, the Lord put on his heart, he's in the presence of the Lord. He's seeking God. He's listening to God. He's just not randomly writing things. The Holy Spirit's moving on John on the island of Patmos. He got exiled out there, but he found time, even in his exile, to be with God. And God began to move on his heart to write these letters to the churches. And in the midst of writing these letters, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, I look and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. God begins to reveal through the Holy Spirit the revelation of the end times. John is taken up. He even says, verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit. He didn't imagine this. He didn't make this up. He didn't just try to think what it would be like. I wonder what heaven would be like, and just start creating and writing. No. Under the Holy Spirit, being in the Spirit, God opened his eyes, began to reveal to him, and took him in here. And this vision, this revelation, takes him in to the presence of the throne room. Amen. He said, behold, a throne set in heaven, and one set on the throne. I'm telling you right now, we begin to sing an early Revelation song. Lord, the atmosphere begin to shift. Because our focus is on the throne room of heaven. That's my agenda this morning. Nothing else but focus on God. I love you, Jesus. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow all around the throne. And the appearance like an emerald. Begin to imagine the throne room. It's hard. You're reading the words. You're trying your best. But I want to let you know that in times of prayer, in his presence, his glory fills the place where we are reverencing him. Lord, we desire your presence so real today. Lord, there's nothing we can do to create a replica of heaven here, but all we can do and what we are able to do and what we've been privileged to do is to offer up praises to your most holy name. And when it comes from our heart and we shout praises to you because of who you are, we recognize who you are, you begin to let us sense the realness of your presence. Can anybody testify that with me? Have anybody been in the presence in a church service, even here, someplace else, where it just felt so thick, the presence of the Lord? You can't explain it. Lord, we desire your presence. Lord, we pray for Brother Ira, who's in the hospital right now. He comes to my mind right now, when the reason is, we had a service here a few years ago. We've had a lot of good service, but there was just one particular that stands in my mind. I just felt the presence of God so heavy. In fact, I think I was preaching out of Isaiah, talking about the throne room, but it was so heavy. And at the end of service, we worshiped for a while, but at the end of service, I couldn't even leave the room. I sat back in the back where Brother Mark is. He's not in trouble, but you're back there holding down. I sat in that seat. And I couldn't move. Just wept. Oftentimes on a Tuesday night, Ira will remind us of that service because it made an impression. I can't live off yesterday's anointing. I can't live off of that experience. But I remember that God's presence, and he's able to do it again. But not just for me, not just for you, but for someone who walks in this door who doesn't know him, and they begin to sense what is different in this room. What is happening here? Something's wanting me to leave, but something's telling me to stay. I believe in his presence. I believe this. You've heard me say, but I'm believing for this. That in his presence, someone who's walked in being diagnosed with cancer, in the middle of his presence, sitting, standing, singing, weeping, whatever it is, begins to sense a warmth on their body. They begin to sense something is happening. They feel the touch of the hand of the Lord. I believe on laying on. I believe that we can touch people and pray for them. That's what we're struggling. But I also believe that God is able to reach down in the middle of worship. And we've heard testimonies of people who've come in with a growth on them someplace, and they said in the middle of a worship service somewhere, that you've heard these testimonies before too, that it disappeared. How many knows that we serve the same God? And that's why we urge and we encourage folks, no matter how you're feeling. I know if you're sick and you're contagious, you know, use wisdom. But if you're feeling bad and you're feeling down, if you can muster up the strength. Now, I know it's hard sometimes. And we don't look down on you when you can't make it, but if you're able to come in, I believe there's a transformation power in the presence of the Lord. Even if it's just for that hour. I told you my testimony. I had back issues when I was younger, and I was in services, and in the moment, I was free of pain. But when I left the service, I don't understand it, but I was in pain again. But it was worth. I wouldn't trade it in for the world. I was glad I was able to be there for that moment. I sensed the presence and the touch of the Lord. Lord, we want to press in. You're worthy. Verse 4, and around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. They had crowns of gold on their heads. Think about it. What a picture. These must have been important people, whatever you want to say, these 24 elders sitting around the thrones, important because they had crowns. They had their own throne rooms or their own throne seats. The Bible doesn't say all of us are going to have throne seats, right? We're going to make it to heaven, but there's 24 elders that had seats, thrones, around the throne. But what was their response? What was their response? Later on, you see in this chapter what their response is, or this book. They begin to cast their crowns. We are not worthy of wearing these crowns. We're not worthy to sit on these thrones. There is only one who is worthy of all honor and all glory and all power. And we see back at the main throne, verse 5, that there was lightning and thunders and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea like crystal glass. And in the midst of the throne, around the throne, were the four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. We try to picture what this looks like. Just understand there's these who are worshiping in heaven. Every knee shall bow, right? And in heaven, they're worshiping God Almighty. The first living creature was like a lion. Second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The magnificent creations of God. That when we see these creations, we're going to be like, oh, wow. But they're nothing when we see God Almighty. Because here is their response. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Lord, I'm always taken back when we talk about your presence. This is not a message just because it was a busy week that it was easy to preach on. This is a message that the Lord is stirring within us. Press into the presence of God. Keep pressing in. Keep renewing our excitement, our anticipation, our longing, our desire for heaven. Because the more that we want heaven, to desire heaven, the more we're going to experience his presence here. That's just the way it works. The more I get excited about heaven, and the more I renew my vision and my anticipation about heaven, and I recognize how real it is, because it's on my mind, I'm speaking about it, I begin to sense the heaviness and the burden knowing that some are not going. When I focus more on heaven, it makes me pray more for my lost family members. Because I realize how great this is going to be. This is not going to just be an experience. This is not something that you can go to heaven and then write home about and say, you ought to try it sometime. No, heaven is the eternal, final destination of those who call on the name of the Lord. And there's only one way to get there, by calling on Jesus Christ. And once this life is over, whether we go by death or by rapture, but once life is over here on earth, there's not a second chance. There's not a do-over. And when we begin to sing songs of praise and his presence fills this place and fills your prayer closet, fills the room where you're listening to worship music or your car as you're driving down the road and you're filling up your spirit with the presence of the Lord, there's something that inside of us says, I need to share my testimony. I need to share the goodness. I need to share the love of God with someone who is lost. Our heart needs a break for those who are lost. Not a new message for you, I know. But the urgency of the hour is here. And it's birthed out of our prayers. It's birthed out of our pressing into his presence. I can't just read a passage like this and be like, oh, that must be nice to see heaven. No, it stirs something within me. I'm longing. If they who are already in heaven cease not to quit, they don't stop saying, holy, 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 night and day, they keep singing out the praises of the Lord. Lord, help us be a house of prayer. Help us, O Lord, press in to your presence. I'm trying to do the best I can this morning. I'm just sensing the presence of the Lord. We have to press in. We have to press in. Let's do the Bible. This week, read Revelations 4, 1 through 8. The connecting passage, you probably knew where I was going to go, Isaiah chapter 6, but I'm just going to focus on the first three verses for a second. But I want you to pray this. Lord, I celebrate salvation in you, but above everything, I humbly bow before you in holy reverence because you are worthy of it all. Because you are worthy of it all. Will you read that with me? Lord, I celebrate salvation in you. But above everything, I humbly bow before you in holy reverence because you are worthy of it all. Before John the Revelator had a vision of heaven, Isaiah had a vision. Isaiah chapter 6, you've heard it. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each having six wings. And we read in Revelation that they had six wings and they had eyes all over. But here we see that they covered their face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. He covered because in his presence the glory of God is so great. So glorious. Lord, we look to you right now. And they begin to cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And look, the whole heaven is full of his glory. Have you ever noticed that? They're in heaven, the scene's in heaven. They're casting down their crowns at the feet of the Lord. They're crying out, holy, holy, holy. But they said, the whole earth. Where are we at right now? The glory of God has not departed. Ichabod has not been claimed over the earth. The earth is still his creation, where his created beings that he made in his likeness, we walk over with dominion over this earth. We have authority over this earth. And we begin to say right now, because we've been in the presence of the Lord, and we begin to understand the power of God. This is why you need to be in his presence. You will not understand his power if you're not in his presence. You can't take authority over anything until you've been in his presence, experiencing his power. You will not have the boldness to speak the name of Jesus. You will not have the courage to pray for someone who is sick until you've been in the presence of the Lord. Because in the presence of the Lord, something begins to rise up within us. It's the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit in us saying that we are more than conquerors. It's not just something that we read. Now it's something that we feel, that I have the Holy Spirit within within me, that I've been empowered and I've been anointed to pray over the sick, to see people set free, to see those who need to be delivered to be delivered. And it's all because we've been in his presence longing for heaven. We can take authority. We can put on the shield of faith, or hold on to the shield of faith, putting on the breastplate. We can put on the full armor of God when we go into the presence of the Lord. Where are you going to get the armor? There's not a store down the street. There's no one can give it to you. It's by being in his presence. Amen. John had a revelation. The Holy Spirit began to reveal to him. I want you to imagine right here on this wall, there's a big rack right here with the armor of God. I've got to choose to come. That one's too big. That doesn't fit. Oh, wait, here's one. My helmet of salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. I'm putting it on right now. Yeah. I'm ready for battle. No, you're not. Okay. I got to get something else. Amen. It's a breastplate right here. I probably should put that on. That feels right. Whoa, wait, I feel confident now. One of our early pastors, I had the opportunity to be one of the police commissioners for a small little town. I got to ride with the police officers. My first ride out, they're like, here's a bulletproof vest. You want to put that on? I'm like, okay. So I slid that thing. I was like, oh, hey, yeah. I feel safe now. I hope we don't run anywhere. I need to have this on, but I felt better just wearing it. I don't want to walk out. I every time I went in, I was like, where's that vest at? I'm not riding with you until I put the vest on. There's a sword. It doesn't make noises like lifesavers, but it does. It's better than that. Amen. I'm not leaving his presence till I'm fully equipped. Amen. Lord, we just come to you right now. Lord, I want to be sensitive to you, but where I keep going back to is you're worthy. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all, Lord. Can you just enter into that praise right now before we do anything else? Lord, you're worthy of it all. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. We're trusting you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. I want all of you, Lord Jesus. I want all of you. How many wants all of the Lord? As you stand to your feet right now. Hallelujah. All the saints and angels, they bow before your throne. All the cast the crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are things, and to you are all things. You're worthy of it all.
from your